We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
All right, welcome back. Second hour of the Mark Reardon Show. Plenty to cover, including an audio cut of the day right into Total Information PM. My buddy George Gray is coming up this hour from The Price is Right. He is the modern-day Johnny Olson. One of these days in the future, like 30 years down the line, they'll be saying, it's the modern-day George Gray. He's only the third official voice on The Price is Right, working with Drew Carey. And they're back taping, have been, I think, for about 4 or 5 weeks now, and they have a primetime special. I always like to kind of catch up with George. We also have the Attorney General of Missouri, Eric Schmidt's going to stop by in the next hour as well. I'm joined by Mr. Kevin Wheeler. I thought we'd talk a little sports and World Series and some other stuff. Kevin, how are you?
I'm good, Mr. Reardon. Since we're going all formal today, you are Mr. Reardon. I am Mr. Wheeler. It's good to talk to you, kind sir.
I am just back from Las Vegas, and I just have to share a quick wagering story because, man, I was rolling heavy, like $5 sports bets.
Man, you got
over
it.
The weekend. And we went to my friend lives in Henderson. Everybody lives in Henderson out there, you know, off the strip, and there's many casinos out off the strip. So we went to the M, and all I did was I put $200 on my sports app. I call it the William Sonoma app. It's actually William Hill, and I'm making some small bets. And on Saturday, I bet $20 on the Rays. And then, you know, have you ever done this? I don't gamble a whole lot anymore. Have you ever done in-game wagering where they allow you to wager while the game is going on? All right, so. I'm all in on the Rays, so I bet $5 when they're down in like the second inning that they're going to come back and win. And then they go down. Well, actually, I think they go up, and then they go down again. I put another again. Keep in mind, I'm rolling heavy here. I put another $5 down, and I put 5 or 10 down on the notion that there'll be 13.5 runs scored or more. And in fact, there were. So I hit like 4 bets. On the Rays on Saturday alone. I know. I mean, the IRS might be listening. I think it was $125 total that I won. So anyway, I'm putting these football parlays together, college football. Didn't hit anything. I finally think I got one, right? So I did a, and this was the biggest bet I made all weekend, $50 three-team parlay. Okay, so a parlay is, Kevin, you have to pick the teams, but also the way that I was doing it, you know, was not the money line. You have to, you know, keep the point spreads in mind.
Yep.
So I felt good about the Packers. You know, I'm a Packers fan. I think they're going to just pound Houston after what happened last week, and that happened. I felt good about the Steelers. That one almost slipped away from me, but I got that. The other team was, this is a mistake, the Cleveland Browns. So I am celebrating. Cleveland takes the lead. They win the game. I'm actually walking outside, because I'm in Vegas, it's night, into my friend's living room as Cody Parker is kicking the extra point, and I say, you know, he better make this extra... $350.
Ugh.
Cody Parker cost me $350. But that's gambling. That is gambling, right?
That's why they call it gambling.
And that it really did kind of hurt. And you know, I did. That stung, Kevin. I'm just going to say it stung.
Yeah.
All right. Let's talk about the World Series. What a great! I think this series has been great. I mean, back and forth and back and forth. I like the Rays tonight. Who do you got? I think 7 games. Going to 7 tomorrow.
Yeah, that's my belief. I mean, before the series, I had Dodgers in 6. I think this lines up pretty well for the Rays, especially with the starting pitching matchup. Blake Snell had a really nice outing his last time out. Tony Gonsolin's very talented for the Dodgers, Mark, but they haven't really given him a lot of leeway here. I mean, they yanked him after just 4 outs in his last start here during the World Series, and that was a game that the Dodgers wound up losing. They've been, you know, really cautious with him, almost treating him like an opener, and I'm not sure that's the play in Game 6. You know, when you have a game lead, do you really want to blow through your bullpen? I guess maybe you would, because you've got Walker Buehler on full rest tomorrow, plus Urias, plus potentially even Kershaw in relief. So don't know, maybe today is the day that you blow out the pen and go for it. But I like the Rays matchup today. I like Blake Snell over Gonsolin.
Let's go back to Saturday night, Game 4. That was a crazy finish, one of the strangest, and we're going to talk about another crazy finish here in this anniversary of Game 6 in 2011 in a minute. But let's play. We pulled the audio here from what happened in the game on Saturday from a variety of sources. So this is Rays Radio, first and foremost.
Swing, line drive, right center. It's a base hit. Kiermaier around third. He scores the tying run to third base and being waved home and falling down. And now they've got a couple between third and home. The ball gets away. Into score, Rosarena. The Rays have won.
I mean, I can't even imagine being a play-by-play guy. That would be, for John Rooney or anyone else, very dizzying. So there's Fox Deportes calling this. We won't really, some of us won't understand this, but I like it anyway.
Batazo, la pelota es imparable. El juego se va a empatar. Pierde la pelota en el central Taylor. Viene el tiro hacia el home. No hay nadie. A Rosarena.
You can still hear it, right? I love the enthusiasm. And then finally, we might as well throw in the Russians here since they're influencing our elections. Just Russian TV on Saturday night.
И выбивает Филлипс. А вот это уже 7-7 как минимум. А может быть и 8-7. Ну-ка. Ой-ой-ой-ой-ой-ой-ой-ой. 8-7.
Фантастика, фантастика, Розарена в доме, как это случилось?
До свидания and a shot of vodka, I think is what they said there. That's translated. So a lot of fun. They couldn't manage to get that victory on Sunday. We got game six tonight. But let's go back to another game six on this day in history. Let's go to the first bite here. Game six, David Freese in the ninth inning. Man, I had my souvenir cup in my hand. I was about 10 rows behind the Rangers dugout and Nolan Ryan. And I told my buddy, Mo Lewis, who does radio in Columbia, I said, look, we're going to stay here. We're going to stay till the end. I want to see the end. But we're getting out of here right away because I didn't want to see these, you know, Rangers fans celebrate in front of me. So here's what happened on that fateful night.
David Freese swinging a long one into right. Get up, baby. Get up. Get up. It's at the wall.
Well, I think we remember that didn't last very long. And then in the 10th inning, Lance Berkman.
The two on, two outs, two strikes, the pitch. A swing and a base hit into center field. Here comes John Jay with the tying run. Pujols goes to third, representing the winning run. The Cardinals have done it again. My, oh my, I can't believe it.
And then, of course, this in the 11th inning, David Freese again.
3-2 delivery. On its way. Swing and a high drive to center field. Get up, baby. Get up, baby. Get up. Oh, yeah. David Freese has just sent us into game number 7. This series is tied. 3-3 with a walk-off home run here in the bottom of the 11th inning. The Cardinals win it 10-9. Unbelievable.
You know, I mentioned this, Kevin. I have no recollection of Game 7. I was at Game 7 as well. I have no recollection of Game 7. But, you know, next year, this anniversary next year is going to be more significant on the 10th anniversary. But that's always fun to relive, right?
You know, that game, Mark, I mean, that's – and I've been doing sports for 25 years as a grown person. I've never been at a better game, never seen a better game, never seen a more entertaining game in my entire life. And it's funny because part of the drama, Mark, you know, our studio over at the ballpark is right behind home plate – underneath the green seats, right? And it's right between the two clubhouses. And as all of these lead changes were happening, we kept watching the champagne move from one side to the other. So in the ninth inning, they were shuttling all of that stuff over to the Rangers side, and the families were going over there, and they were excited. And the next thing you know, oh no, they're shuffling it back because it's going the other direction. I mean, it was, you combine that with what you saw on the field and what we just heard in the highlights, I mean, there's nothing like it. Although I will say the game the other night had a pretty close feel to that. You know, the game four had that same kind of vibe at the end.
A little bit. You know, I was going to see if I could find this tweet because Jeff Passan said, before I go to bed, I've covered baseball since 2004. He's pretty young. And I judge World Series classics by very subjective standards. Did it make me stand up in the press box and literally repeat no effing way? That list now is three. Game 6, 2011. Game 7, 2016. That was Cleveland and the Cubs. Dramatic finish. And then game 4, 2020. It's easy to say that in the moment. I just think that as weird as that ending was, it doesn't have the impact nearly the Game 6 in 2011 and Game 7 in 2016, but it was sort of fun to watch it sort of unfurl.
I mean, it was great. And, you know, where we were, Mark, when the home run, in fact, I'm tweeting this right now, I took video of the Freeze home run on my phone because we were standing in the green seats, you know, waiting for the game to end, like right behind, literally right behind home plate. And it's one of the coolest things. I mean, it was just so that the atmosphere was amazing. The actual baseball was amazing, too. And we're going to talk about this tonight, by the way. John Jay is going to join me at 6:30. So we'll get some insider perspective on this tonight, too.
So one thing that's been happening, you know, I'm certain on some of the shows that you've been doing, taking calls on social media, in columns that are written about baseball, is that there's a lot of people upset because they already automatically assume, and maybe this is the case, that the Cardinals got the raw end of the deal on this Randy Rosarena deal because how awesome he is in the postseason. Now, I do think there's something to not maybe making a judgment call on that after seeing this guy play for just 2 months. I think he's a hell of a talent. But, Kevin, isn't it a little early to weigh in on that? I mean, there's just frustration overall because we don't have that extra offense, but Libertor is supposed to be a stud.
Yeah, look, short term, like if you're counting it just for 2020, the Rays win, right? I mean, this guy's, you know, if they win the World Series, he will probably be the World Series MVP, and he was the LCS MVP, and he set the record for most home runs in a postseason, most hits by a rookie, most hits, period. I mean, this year they've won the deal. But yeah, in 5 years, we'll know, you know, if a Rosarena's an everyday player and he's crushing for the Rays, and Liberatore is just a guy, well, then, yeah, we'll say that the Cardinals lost the deal. If Liberatore is a number two or three starter, then it's probably a lot more reasonable to go. So, yeah, short term, no doubt it's a loss, but obviously you grade trades on the long term.
It was a great column this morning from Tom Boswell in the Washington Post, and I don't think that this gets enough attention, so I wanted to mention it. The headline is, "With Honesty and Accountability, Baseball Salvaged This Season. What a shame it has to end." And I agree with him because, look, there were, you know, I think you and I talked about this a little bit last week. I think most people probably felt, even in June, that baseball, no way, you know, we're not going to be able to get this off the ground. And then the Cardinals get COVID.
Yeah.
And, you know, I remember I tweeted that day, well, so long baseball, but they stick with it and they get through it. And now we have the conclusion of what I think has been a great World Series, could get better tonight. And I think Major League Baseball deserves a lot of attention and credit for that.
Yeah. You look, they pulled off something similar to what the NBA and NHL did, except they didn't have a bubble. So it was a lot more difficult. Like their level of difficulty was through the roof when it comes to trying to get everybody in line. And look, the Marlins and Cardinals outbreaks led to a tightening of the restrictions. And they haven't had a positive test in Major League Baseball, Mark, in I think it's now 56 days. And I mean, again, that's almost 2 months. And you only had a 3-month season counting the postseason. So ever since the Cardinals outbreak, everybody tightened down, and it proves that their protocols and their procedures worked.
Well, I think it's awesome. Looking forward to baseball tonight. Kevin is back at 4:15. We'll talk to you then about the rest of sports and preview this World Series tonight. I appreciate it. 3:18 at the Voice of St. Louis, George Gray's. The Voice on The Price is Right. They are filming again. They got a special on tonight. I don't even know how they're doing it with the COVID restrictions. We'll find out next on KMOX.
The Mark Reardon Show, sponsored by Cantor Injury Law, on St. Louis's News Radio, KMOX.
Well, I thought it'd be a good time to check in with my friend George Gray, who is back out west after spending a good portion of the summer here in St. Louis, jobless, unemployed. I mean, technically, you really didn't have a gig for a while. How are you this afternoon, George?
Mark, my brother, I'm doing groovy. Nice to hear your voice, man. You doing well?
Yeah, I think pretty well, you know, all things considered. I'm still bummed out that we didn't get to hang out a little bit more over the summer and go to a Cardinals game, and that's something we usually do is go to a couple of games, and that just wasn't possible, unfortunately. First and foremost, though, how is the health? You know, we told this story. We shared it with KMOX listeners. You had a quadruple bypass surgery back in the spring. So your year is crazy outside of the regular craziness of 2020.
You know, I honestly was not a big deal. I heard a rumor that chicks dig scars, and I went to the doc and said, what do you got? You know, what are we looking at?
All right. All right, that's...
I got a nifty one.
That's what we're going with. That's what we're going with. Okay. And then here, let me, can I bring this up too? Because I think this is a weird story. So your lovely wife, Brittany, and I follow her on Instagram. She has this post from a few weeks ago. Now we're going to talk about The Price is Right. You went back to start filming. There's a primetime special, but I think it was one of the first mornings you're at work and Brittany goes outside of your house in California, in LA, looks for her car. She can't find it anywhere. Can you confirm, was her car actually stolen? That car was stolen?
Her car was actually stolen, yeah, and I've been dealing with it, and they just recovered it yesterday.
So what happened, do you know?
Well, there's a bunch of trash inside it. Somebody jimmied the lock, so we went down to a yard to check it out, so the insurance will deal with it, but... there was a couple of weed stickers on the windows. So you do whatever kind of math you want, but somebody was having a party.
Well, I'm glad you got it back. That just had to be a weird situation. Let's talk about The Price is Right. I haven't even talked to you about this. So how is this all going down with contestants and with everything now in COVID? How did you manage to get something recorded and some shows back on the air?
You know what? I love the fact that, because obviously a lot of other shows, it's like, okay, well, we can, you know, we can work around an audience. We can, you know, do without. We can just, you know, have the host at home. We can do remotely. None of that works for Price is Right. Obviously, you know, it's all about everybody going bananas. And the executive producers came up with, it's Evelyn Warfel and Adam Sandler, different Adam Sandler, and they were like, okay, you got it. People got to come on down. You know, George has to say, come on down. How do we do it? And what they do now is, and there's a primetime special tonight. So it's the first time anybody's going to get a look at what it's going to look like for the season, at least until we're able to have audiences again. And, there's no audience, none. There's 15 contestants, 9 people are going to get picked out of the 15, but they don't know who they are. And so there's still the element of surprise. You still may not get picked. And the curtains that are behind where the audience was, it's now flattened out. And so they actually have them standing back behind there, and they all have a mask on their face. They're all standing 6 feet apart, and they all take the loops off their ears and hold the mask over their face. And when the music plays and I say a name, they're waiting to hear their name. They're standing by. And if they hear their name, they drop their mask and they run out to their podium. And if they don't, hear their name, they hook their mask back on and they wait again. And then they cheer each other on. So you do hear them cheering for each other, and it's fantastic. It's yes, it's different, but, you know, I'm so happy that we can do new episodes, and everybody's having a great time.
Well, that's awesome. And you got to get creative. I think everyone is thinking how creative they can get in every industry right now. So I give those producers credit for doing something that still includes a come on down, because, yeah, you have to have that. One other change tonight. Now, I haven't seen you here in a couple of months. Can you tell me a little bit about Santa Drew? Because it looks like Drew is taking on a bit of a different look. There's a big beard for Drew Carey.
All I know is there's gold in them Nar Hills, gold. Yeah, it's kind of fun because every show and almost every commercial break, he'll come back and make a new joke or a reference about his beard. And we've done quite a few episodes so far, and I think it'll be fun to see how many jokes he can come up with about his beard. But yeah, he decided, you know, he's like, well, he was growing it out, and what's different also is, he's wearing like really hip jackets, no ties, no socks, like some really
like
cool
it.
Kick. It's just, you know, he said, hey, this is a different time, and I think it calls for a slightly different vibe, and it really works. You know, I mean, he still has a lot of fun with the contestants, and we still want everybody to win. We air high five. You know what? I mean, it's the world doesn't have to stop right now. You just got to make some slight adjustments, and Price is White. Luckily, I don't do that on there. The Price is Right is one of those warm whoobies. You know, it's something that I think it's wonderful that we can do it right now. I think it's a positive, uplifting
people
show.
Need it. Yep.
That makes
absolutely.
And man, we could use a little bit of that right now, couldn't we?
Hey, does this? I'm just thinking through this here for you. Doesn't this sort of open the door, Drew's beard and everything, for a red goatee in the spring when the Cardinals start up again?
If the Cardinals were in the World Series, I'd have it. Yes.
All right.
I have.
That would be.
I had from when we went on kind of involuntary hiatus in March. I started growing a soul patch, and you had seen it. It was getting pretty long, and it was kind of a beard soul patch thing. And Drew saw me the first day of rehearsal. And he's like, "Oh, you should leave it." But actually, my intention was like to kind of shed, you know, the heart attack and all the waiting and everything. So for me, it was kind of, for him, it was like, okay, this is a different time. I'm going to keep the beard. And for me, it was like, I'm going to get rid of all this garbage that I've been through in 2020 and, you know, start the season fresh. So for me, it was a different reason to clean shave. But yes, I mean, he was like, "Hey, you should grow a beard." I look terrible.
You know, I want to mention one other thing, though, because when you were on earlier this year, and we talked about this during the summer, too, you had some struggles just post the surgery with your voice, and I think you were very concerned about your voice. I didn't even think about that. You sound great. I just sort of, you know, remembered that, but I don't think that's even an issue. And the other thing I want to say is, because maybe we buried the lead here, there are three primetime specials, but this one tonight features frontline and essential workers, so that's a nice touch as well.
Yeah, because, you know, I mean, we can give back a little bit. I mean, you know, it's been going on so long. At first, everybody was tying a yellow ribbon around that old oak tree, and now it's like, okay, well, it's just another day. No, those people are out there slugging away every single day of the week, and it never hurts to just keep saying thank you, you know? And thank you for
George
my
Gray
voice.
From The Price is Right. Yeah. No, you sound great.
My voice is getting better, and I love to hear your voice, and I'm sending my love out to everybody. Hi, Judy Reardon. Hi, Mama May. And hi, everybody. I hope everybody's doing well.
Oh, man, you just saved me by getting a hello into my mom up in Chicago. Thank you so much, George Gray. We'll talk soon. I'm glad everything is working out. We'll watch tonight. The Price is Right, the primetime special, 3:31. The Attorney General is coming up, General Schmidt.
News Radio 1120, KMOX, the voice of the Cardinals.
Audio cut of the day before the end of the hour, and we'll get into Total Information PM. Speaking of which, at 4:20 this afternoon, we'll be visited by Yale University's Dr. Stephen Novella, who has been following this. This is fascinating to me. I got back really, really early this morning from Las Vegas, and I clicked on some news about this murder hornet nest that got sucked up in the backyard of this family in Washington State. So I want to talk murder hornets, and we're going to do it. At 4:20 this afternoon, we're joined by the Attorney General of the state of Missouri. He still holds the reign as the official state lawmaker or state office holder. I almost gave you a demotion, Eric, of the Mark Reardon Show. Attorney General Eric Schmidt with us this afternoon, a week ahead of Election Day. How are you?
I'm great, Mark. How are you doing?
Fantastic. Ready for this election to be over. Let's talk about Amy Coney Barrett first and foremost. Yeah. Well, I mean, I think everyone's exhausted. Everyone's ready for, I know you're out campaigning and there's a lot going on. You were, I can't remember, were you out there for the Amy Coney Barrett nomination? Did you tell me that?
So I was in D.C. when that was all happening and had a chance to talk to the president right before the announcement. And I've been, as on social media and op-eds across the state, just been a big supporter of her. She's an incredible jurist. She's a legal, trailblazer. She's believes that laws should be interpreted as they're written, not how she wants them to be written. She's a originalist, a textualist. I mean, she's the first, and I think this is understated, but she's the first, you know, mom of school-age kids that's on the Supreme Court. She has a child with special needs. We share that in common. I'm just a big fan. She's an incredible addition, and I think it's great for the country that she's now Justice Amy Coney Barrett.
So I'm guessing, let me play this soundbite here from Chuck Schumer, the minority leader, might be the majority leader next year, which is kind of frightening. But and David, if you're ready with this, hopefully Dave's listening to me right now. I'm not sure. Chuck Schumer making this out to be a moment that it's probably not.
Monday, October 26th, 2020. It will go down as one of the darkest days in the 231-year history of the United States Senate.
I mean, that's pretty dramatic, isn't it? The darkest day.
It's totally ridiculous. Look, every single time there's been a vacancy in an election year, a president, Republican or Democrat, has moved a name forward. Except for one time, when the same party controls, the Senate, that person moves forward. Every time when the opposite party controls the Senate, that name doesn't move forward. This is perfectly aligned with what's happened in this country since the founding. That's overly dramatic. But what I do think is telling is I think they are setting this up to pack the court, and that should really concern Americans who care about our republic, our Constitution. Look, you work within the rules that are set forth. There are nine justices. When a vacancy comes up, that's what elections are about, and that's what's at stake, in the presidential race. When I was campaigning in 2016, I was with Roy Blunt. He made the prediction that there's going to be for sure one justice come up, maybe two, and probably three, and that's what's happened. So people, this is, what presidential elections are all about and why I think there's so much energy for Donald Trump right now. As I'm out across the state, and you're seeing these rallies, Mark, there is something that's happened, and you can feel it on the ground. In the last 2 weeks, it's different. There's different energy, and I feel good about it.
You know, it's what's interesting on a lot of this. Look, I don't know what's going to happen next week. I don't think anybody knows, and I think there is momentum for the president right now. I think that's absolutely true, but it's just a strange time because, I don't know if you looked at some of these, and you're a politician, so you probably look at some of these numbers. You have consultants that look at it. Some of the early voting totals from many of the states. I mean, it's incredible. California has had 48% of the total votes from 2016. Michigan's had 43%. Pennsylvania, 28%. North Carolina, 67%. In Texas, 82% of the total 2016 votes, 7.3 million votes, have been cast so far. Now, I've also heard that, Joe Biden is leading amongst those who have cast their ballots up until this point, but not leading with those who haven't cast their ballots in some of these
states. Right, and it's a different dynamic. Now, I think, look, one thing we don't know right now is, not to be a prognosticator here, but what we don't know is, are those people who have normally voted who've just shifted to early voting and not necessarily new voters, right? And I think it's great for the republic. I think everybody should vote, by the way. I encourage everyone to get out to vote. But it could just be that because of a number of different factors, including the coronavirus, that maybe people are just voting early because they don't want to mess with Election Day. But I think we want everybody to get out there and vote, let their voices be heard, and that's good for the country.
You do have an opponent. I don't know if anyone's ever heard of him in your race for attorney general. But let me kind of focus, because I was reading our local paper about this race and how you're focusing on violent crime, and the Democratic challenger is talking about health care. And I think health care is certainly something the Democrats are trying to make a national issue. It's important to many people. Certainly pre-existing conditions get talked about from time to time. So the St. Louis Post-Dispatch, your opponent, and many Democrats feel that you're okay with the notion that if this lawsuit goes forward and the ACA is dismantled, that that's going to leave millions of people without pre-existing conditions, and that's going to be your fault, partially.
Yeah, it's ridiculous, and you know me, Mark. I have a son with special needs, and so I think pre-existing conditions, those sorts of protections should absolutely be required. The question is, when they passed Obamacare, the individual mandate's unconstitutional, and that's a legal question. It certainly doesn't mean, so anybody would conflate that legal position about the law being unconstitutional with not wanting protections for pre-existing conditions or just being intellectually dishonest. But it's silly season, and those things get, thrown around. But look, I've been very clear, and our ads are clear. My messaging has been clear. I think I'm from the St. Louis area. I know your listeners are mostly in the St. Louis area, but you can hear it all over the place. Violent crime is a real problem. You need an attorney general that's willing to form these partnerships like we have with the feds to prosecute violent crime. It's the biggest issue, as I talk to people in St. Louis and around the state, that you need an attorney general who's committed to that. I'm the only one in this race that's committed. I'm the only one in this race that's got the endorsement of law enforcement. I'm proud of that.
What are you, and I'm guessing you're crisscrossing the state right now. How does this feel different? You weren't running for attorney general, but clearly you were running for statewide office 4 years ago. How does it feel different because of COVID right now, just out there, out and about in the state, or doesn't it?
Well, there haven't been as many of the kind of events that you're used to running statewide, across the state, whether it's, every county having something you try to get to and, talking about that. That's been on the shelf because that starts in the spring when all this started, in the summer and into the fall. But you're starting to see, these kind of things pick up, and you want to get out there and meet people. We're doing it in a safe way, but communicating, and I think listening to voters, that's one thing I've learned from running statewide. Now this is the second time. There's a lot of wisdom out there, and people tell you things, and you learn something new every single day. And so that's what I'm focused on. My opponent, he's found himself in the news for different reasons this week, but there's a couple things you have to do when you run for office, Mark. You have to show up in person and present an ID to prove who you are. You have to pay a filing fee, and then you also have to under penalty of perjury, assert that you don't owe any taxes. Well, it came out this week that, in fact, he did owe taxes in February when he swore under penalty of perjury that he didn't. So, you know, he either lied about it to Missourians to get on the ballot, or he didn't know what he was doing and didn't know it. Either way, he's not qualified to be attorney general. But I'm trying to stay positive, focus on our message, and that's what I'm going to continue to do.
Yeah, I just don't know if anybody really knows his name, so I didn't really mention it here this afternoon. We'll close on baseball. We often do this because you and I are friends. We talk baseball quite a bit. I'm just going to mention a name and see if you're triggered, and you can respond to the name. You ready?
I know who you're going to say. Coming. Does it start with
Randy Arozarena? Go.
Oh my gosh. It is, isn't it? It's torture because this guy was one of these prospects, and he's having one of the most historic postseasons in Major League history, Major League Baseball history. So, yeah, it's kind of tough to watch. But I am rooting for the Rays. I hope they pull it out because I'm an unabashed, selfish Cardinal fan, and they have the second most World Series titles beyond the Yankees. I do not want any team like the Dodgers, who are only a few behind, to get any closer. So that's how I root for who's going to win the World Series. How can the Cardinals maintain this crown jewel of the National League status and, you know, number two behind the Yankees as we try to catch up with them over the next several decades?
And as you very well know, were you there at Game 6?
I was not there, but it's the anniversary, and David Freese, and you know I've got a little history with David, and that is such a cool thing, the hometown guy, hitting that home run, one of the great games in baseball. You were there, I believe, right?
I was there, Eric. I was there, and I don't like to mention that much around my wife because my wife had to ditch out for a Halloween party that night, and she is still very bitter about it. The Attorney General of the State of Missouri, Eric Schmidt, always great to have you on. I appreciate it. Good luck next week. We'll talk soon.
All right. Thanks, Mark.
3:47. We have an audio cut of the day coming up next in traffic on KMOX.
Stand by. Playback ready.
Now, the audio cut of the day.
Well, by this time, I'm guessing a lot of people have watched the new Borat movie. You talked about it last week. I laughed a few times, but look, it's not that great of a movie. Not nearly as good as the first one. Here he is on CBS This Morning talking about the Rudy Giuliani scene. Sacha Baron Cohen.
Well, he said that he did nothing inappropriate. And, you know, my feeling is if he sees that as appropriate, then heaven knows what he's intended to do with other women in hotel rooms with a glass of whiskey in his hand. I mean, I don't want to ruin the movie for anyone, so I would just say, you know, see it and make your own mind up.
Well, he doesn't come off very well at all, but I don't know if he was touching his tube, and I said that last week. But here he is talking about how did he even do that scene? How did he hide in the room and all that stuff?
We had built a hideaway in the wardrobe, which was about 6'5" and 3 foot wide, and I was in there for the entire scene. And my only means of communication, the idea was that I would jump out at the necessary point and I would communicate. I would know what he was doing via text messages with the director because I had no eyes on anything. Well, Rudy thought he was alone with her. He brought a cop with him, an ex-policeman, and the policeman does a sweep of the entire hotel suite. And I'm obviously running to get in there, jump in the hideaway, pull this thing shut. And I've got a little internal lock and it's pitch black in there. Does a sweep and then leaves the room and the security guard, ex-cop, his security guard sits outside the room, ensuring that no one could come in and out, which is actually even more scary when you think about it for her. So we built this hideaway, you know, we're all fully prepared. His security guard does the sweep, looks in the wardrobe, there's nothing untoward. The interview starts and I switch on the phone and there's only 3% battery.
Well, that answers some of the questions I had last week because I didn't understand how he bypassed security. He told us now how he did it. 3:56, Total Information PM is coming up on KMOX.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL Draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.